In the spring of...
I promised I would do this.
Yeah, okay. That's good. In the spring of 1996, I was a senior at Pomona College in Claremont, California. And midway through the semester, it looked like I would be graduating. So I was going to be thrust out into the real world, and I thought it might be nice to have a job lined up when that happened. So I made my way to the Career Development Center at college. And being a young man of considerable drive and ambition, I was drawn to the binder of summer camp counseling jobs. So I looked through the binder, and I found a brochure for a camp on a lake in Freedom, Maine. And that sounded good enough for me. So I applied and got a job as a camp counselor. I did graduate, and after graduation, made my way east to Freedom. And I was very impressed by the camp. It was beautiful facilities, beautiful cabins. They really pulled out all the stops for these kids. They were catering to sort of a hoity-toity clientele. And just an example of this, they had during the session what was called Candy Drop Day. Which is when they hired a private plane to fly over the camp and drop candy in a field. And all the children would run out and grab as much as they could. So it was like this incredibly expensive piñata. Except the kids weren't banging on the airplane or anything. I was assigned to a cabin with three other counselors, full of nine-year-old boys. There were 20 of them, and I found nine is actually a great age. They were full of life. They enjoyed every day. They hadn't hit adolescence, so there were none of those complications. We actually, in our cabin, we had a number of kids from outside the United States who had just come over for the camp session, and then we're going to go back home. So we had kids from Venezuela, Russia, Korea, some of whom spoke very little English. So the communication was a challenge sometimes in the cabin. But the biggest challenge came from a camper, an American camper, who spoke terrific English. What he didn't do was use the toilet when he pooped. True stories. He would go in his pants, and then he would store the pants underneath his bunk. So this was a problem for the whole cabin. And this actually was a surprise to the camp. The parents hadn't warned the camp about this, and so it was a surprise to us counselors. And we weren't really that sophisticated. So, you know, we tried to help him, and I think our advice mainly consisted of, you know, talking about toilets and how great they were. So, just ineffective. And the problem persisted throughout the summer, sadly. We knew something had happened, an incident, when his Venezuelan bunkmate would hold his nose and point. That needed no translation. But I was proud of the kids, because in general, you know, they were very supportive, and I'd never heard anybody make fun of him. So I was proud of them. We had a camper with another issue, which I thought was eminently more fixable. And this was with Andre, our Russian camper. And Andre was 9 years old going on 59. He had the shorts comfortably above the navel at all times. The dark socks. He really had it going on. Andre's issue was he had a very singular diet. He really liked his starches, and he didn't like much else. So I decided it was going to be my duty to get Andre to broaden this diet and eat some salad in particular. So I would, you know, give him my advice in the mess hall. And one night I was really going after him. You know, come on, you got to eat salad, and it's so good for you, and it tastes good, and, you know, I'd be eating the salad. And he was listening, but after a while, you know, he wasn't listening, and he'd had enough, you know, but I kept at it. So he picked up his fork, and he motioned at me in this vaguely menacing way, and he said, "Fred, I love you potatoes, I love you cake." So I backed off. You can eat what you want to eat, Andre. I learned an important lesson, though. You know, you can't make someone love you salad. When I wasn't in the cabin, I had to teach classes. And I'd studied theater in college, so they assigned me to the theater classes. I taught a movement class. for which two people signed up. So that wasn't a huge success. I also taught scenic design and construction. Now, I can't really construct much of anything without very explicit instructions. And I certainly can't design anything that then needs to be constructed. But this was my fate. So I went at it, and our big task in scenic design and construction was to design and build the scenery for the camp play, which was going to be put on at the end of the 8-week session. So we did that, and we, you know, cobbled together some scenery and for the play. Unfortunately, on the night of the play, I had another duty as counselor, so I couldn't make it. But the next morning, I literally had kids running up. They couldn't wait to tell me that the scenery had, in fact, collapsed during the play on one of the actors. And I'm no expert, but I think that violated perhaps the cardinal rule of scenic design and construction, that it not attack the actors. The summer came to an end, as summers do, unfortunately. And despite it all, I'd had a great time. I was sad, too, because I had to figure out what I was going to do next with my life. I applied for some autumn camp jobs. But, you know, they're very hard to come by. So being a young man of drive and ambition, I did the next best thing. I moved back in with my mother. It was nice enough to have me, and I enrolled in bartending school. But that's another story. Thank you.